Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Dialed In. This is a broadcast where we focus on communication, relationships, and personal growth with actionable steps that you can implement immediately to help you live your best life. Our guest today is part of the Big Life series. Now, if this is your first time listening, I'm talking with people who are living life in a big way. When I say big, what I mean is that they are living life using their gifts and talents and doing the things that feed their soul. Today's guest is Anna LeBaron. Anna is one of more than 50 children of infamous polygamist cult leader Erval LeBaron. Anna LeBaron endured abandonment, horrific living conditions, child labor, and sexual grooming. At age 13, she escaped the violent cult, gave her life to Christ, and sought healing. She is a gifted communicator and personal growth activist. She's passionate about helping others walk in freedom. Anna lives in Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex and loves being mom to 5 grown children and Yaya. Is that right, Anna? Yaya?
Yes.
Okay. Yaya to a brand new granddaughter. So welcome, Anna.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here, and I cannot wait to have this discussion with you. I've been looking forward to this.
Yay. So I always like to tell people why I asked them to come be part of Dialed In. So when I was thinking about you, there's like 800 reasons, so I won't go on and on about all of them, but so here are the big things that stood out to me. So not only have you overcame a horrific start in your life, but I see you have this amazing ability to really harvest the good from most any situation. You're funny. You go out of your way to be kind and encouraging to others. Not only are you a successful author, but you're also a sought-after speaker. You help others grow their social media, you launch all kinds of books, and you help people learn to write. I mean, my goodness, when do you sleep? And one more thing, you do CrossFit, and I love that. And you even post about things that you've overcome and challenges that you've achieved and all kinds of things that make you just so relatable to everybody. So there's so many things that we could talk about today in regards to living big. I see you being courageous. I see you taking action. I see you being gritty. You're persistent. And really, you do it all while having fun. So my one question to start with is, have you always lived big?
Well, the answer to that is no. when you're born and raised in a polygamist cult, you are groomed and taught and beaten into submission for like the person that you are. If you have any spunk, any personality, any kind of vim or vigor to you, that's just literally beaten out of you or frightened out of you. You learn to suppress your emotions. You learn to compartmentalize pain. You learn to hide who you are, because it's not safe to just be yourself in that environment. And I learned quickly how to mold myself and how to be chameleon-like in my environment based on who was around and, you know, a people-pleasing kind of thing. Like if I knew somebody wanted this kind of presence from me, that's what I did, just so that I could stay safe.
Wow.
I learned not to buck the system. I learned to keep myself in check. And all of those things had to be unlearned in my adulthood. So the answer is no. I didn't always live the way I am now and the way people see me on social media and how they experience me on social media. And everything that you see on social media is real. and it's the real deal. If you meet me in person, it's going to be the same exact thing that you see online. And that took literally decades of unlearning and relearning.
Wow. So, yeah, that's heavy.
Yeah, I'm experiencing the weight of it right now.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure. Those things never go away. You just learn how to respond differently to the stuff you've been programmed to believe, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I experienced childhood trauma, abuse, and neglect. And when I talk about abuse, I'm talking about all the abuses you're imagining and probably some that you're not thinking about. Because abuse there's all kinds of different ways to experience abuse. Not just the physical abuse where, you know, it leaves marks and scars on the body. I'm talking about these hidden abuses that leave marks and scars on the soul and on the heart and spirit of a child. Psychological abuse, emotional abuse, verbal abuse, spiritual abuse, all of those things shape and form who we are in our childhood and then impact our lives into our adulthood until we are able to address those things in safe conversations and in safe ways with trusted adults and professional people who are trained to help you overcome those things. So childhood trauma, abuse, and neglect was the thing that shaped my life and impacted me into my adulthood. And then when I became an adult and I began to see things happening, you know, in myself and through myself, and like, why am I doing this thing? And why do I repeat this thing? And why can't I change this thing? I ended up in a counselor's office in 1995. I was in my mid-20s, I think, if I'm doing the math right. Had three kids of my own. And that was the changing day in my life, is showing up at that counselor's office and beginning the process of healing from all the things that I experienced as a child.
So you were able to escape the cult, right? When you were relatively like early teens?
Yeah,
is that
I was
right?
13 years old. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing about that is when I ran away from home, I didn't even understand that I was in a cult.
Of course not. Right?
I wasn't running away from the cult. I was running away so that I wouldn't get moved from Houston to Denver, where I knew our lives were headed imminently. And so I ran away so that I could stay in Houston, and I went to live with a half-sister of mine who was kind of on the fringes of the cult, but still hadn't gotten out because it wasn't safe to get out. Getting out put a target on your back. My father was known as the Mormon Manson because people that left his cult or that were rivals of his would be targeted. He would order hits on them, and then his followers would carry them out.
Wow. So, not that I want to dwell on this part of your life, but I think the things that you have overcome are a big part of who you are, too. So, you're 13, and you escape, and then, so you're on the fringes, so you're not fully in, not fully out, but you were safe?
Yes, I was safe. Because I was 13, I had not been indoctrinated, and neither had I done anything I didn't know anything that I could go to the police with about our family of origin. It was people that had inside information that if they got out, that those are the people that were targeted for the most part. And so I did not have any information, and I was not indoctrinated. So So I couldn't turn my back on the truth if I had never really seen the truth or had been enlightened to the truth. And I say that I use the word truth loosely because it was my father's truth is what it was. So, which was no kind of truth at all.
Mm-hmm. Right. So at that point, you just kind of started a new life and then went to school like a normal person and just coped with all the stuff that happened all those years before without any help?
Correct. I was going through a depression, which was undiagnosed, but just looking back on all of the things that were happening to me, to my body, how I felt, it was like, you know, walking through sludge. You know, like it was hard to move, which that's a lot of people that have experienced depression can identify with that. And later I experienced clinical depression where I was sleeping 20 hours a day. Mm. And of course, you know, I talk about that in the book that I wrote, you know, the events that took place that kind of landed me there. And so in my teenage years after I got out, I recall all these feelings inside of me that I could have used professional help to kind of make some sense of, but it just wasn't that. It was a different time back then, and people didn't understand the necessity of helping people through difficult transitions in life, and leaving your family of origin and, you know, running away from home, that's a big transition. And it just it affected me. And so I went through all the motions of living my life, you know, finished school, graduated from high school, got married, started having kids, all with this heavy weight of everything that had happened up until that point, carried all that baggage with me into that relationship, into my parenting. Everything, it affected every part of my life, even though I didn't want it to. What I wanted was to, you know, put all that in the past and compartmentalize it and, you know, put it behind me and then never have to look at it again. That would have been lovely to be able to just disconnect from my past so easily. But, you know, you carry it with you. It comes with you, and wherever you are, there it is, right there with you. And there's just no getting around the process that every one of us who has experienced any kind of childhood trauma, abuse, or neglect, there's no getting around the process of healing. It's a time-consuming process, but it is, one, it's a process, but two, it's a miracle. The fact that anyone can heal from things like that, and not just people like me who are born in a polygamous cult, anybody can experience childhood trauma, abuse, or neglect, or all three. And the healing process is a miracle. If you think about it, if you get a cut on your hand, you can observe the healing process with your own eyes. If it's taken care of and, you know, cleaned and kept clean and all that, a cut will heal by itself. Like, really? Wow. It's a miracle that our bodies heal. And it's a miracle that our souls, our spirits, and our hearts can also heal when properly taken care of. And that's the key. The latest counselor, because I've been in counseling for a long time, started in 95, and I've been off and on with certain counselors over long periods of time, because I have very much pressed in and pursued the healing that I knew was available to me. And so the latest counselor that I've worked with, she calls herself a holistic counselor, because she has a way of looking at it where it's like the mental healing, emotional, physical, and spiritual. So she incorporates all of those aspects of your whole person in that healing process. And that has been such a key for me, is making sure that I was considering my whole self on this healing journey and not just certain aspects of it.
Wow, there's so much, so many things that we could talk about in what you've said in the last few minutes. As I hear you talk, the thing that kept coming up for me was, you know, we all have baggage and we all have things we can heal from. Obviously, many people have not been through the horrifying things that you have, but that being said, we all have baggage. Like, everybody is taught in their family how to be safe. And it may not necessarily be safe from abuse, but you learn how to act and how to play your role so you're safe. And sometimes those roles can make you believe that you're not worthy of a life where you are running a race that's yours and using your gifts and talents and worthy of happiness or worthy of any of those things that I believe that we're here for. And for years I didn't see my worth, and I just thought, okay, you're kind of, I felt a little programmed when I started looking at my life, like, this is what you do. You go to church every Sunday, and not that there's anything wrong with church. I'm not saying that, but this was my programming growing up. You go to church every Sunday. You try to be nice. You follow all these rules that you have in church, and if not, then you better repent right away. And then you go to college, and you get a job, and you figure out something that you can do to make an income. It doesn't matter if you like it or not. Your role is to provide for your family, and you have to be able to stand on your own because you never know what life will bring you. You may lose your spouse. You may be by yourself, and you have to be able to be self-sufficient. And so there was never anything in any of that story that said to me that God's given you gifts and talents. And by the way, you being happy doesn't mean you have to please everyone around you. Like, I grew up thinking that if I could just make everybody around me happy, if they were okay, I was okay.
Right. That's very much instilled into me too.
Yeah. Right. If they're okay, I'm okay. Okay, phew, I played the role. They're okay, they're not mad, so I'm okay. And the thing is, like, you're never okay when you're doing that.
Right.
you're just pretending. And that's so heavy. Yes. Yeah, it's incredible. So what was the moment, or was there something that happened in 1995 where you were like, okay, I've got to unpack this, or I have to work through this? Was there a moment or a situation?
100% yes.
Okay.
And it's not even a funny thing. I had attended a wedding, a family wedding, where some children came to the wedding that I wasn't expecting. And, you know, once you've read my family history, or you know about my family of origin, you know what an impact this would have had on me in that moment. But here we are. I meet these four children around ages 8 to 10 or 12 or so, and I come to find out that they're my nieces and nephews, and they're my brother's children. And this is my brother that's serving a life sentence in prison. And the circumstances of that are, you know, I talk about them in my book. But I meet these children that I didn't even know, like, were coming. And in the moment, it was a happy time. Like, oh my gosh, you're Heber's children. But then after the wedding and, you know, went back home that night, I had a nightmare in which Heber played a big part of that nightmare. And I didn't even recognize that what was happening was that I was triggered, and that nightmare was triggered by meeting those children. And so the next day at a park, I was having a play date with a friend. She had three boys, and I had three boys about the same age. Her name was Diana. And we were sitting there talking, and I told her about this nightmare that I had. And I didn't tell very many people hardly any details about my family of origin, just because it was so shameful to me. And I was afraid I would be ostracized, you know, and shunned for having such a weird family. And so I told her about this nightmare, and, you know, because she was concerned about me and knew a little bit, she says to me, does your church have a lay ministry counseling where you could go and get some help? And I said, no, I don't think so. She says, okay, at my church, we have lay ministry counseling. If I make you an appointment, will you go? And in that moment, I didn't even recognize that I needed help. Like, it didn't occur to me that that kind of nightmare was due to something that was going on the inside that I needed to unpack with somebody that would help me understand what was happening. So I went to that appointment and for the first time told a stranger like everything about my family of origin that I could think of and could fit in an hour. And this poor woman, I don't know her name or even the church that we were at. This poor woman, after an hour of listening to me, she does something so wise. She slides a business card across the desk from where we were sitting and says to me, the kind of help you need is not the kind that I can offer you here, but this is somebody that can help you. And it was at that point that I kind of went, oh, what is going on here? What is happening? So I made an appointment with this counselor, and just because I believe that meeting with that lay ministry counselor and then every subsequent meeting with my professional counselor, I believe were divine appointments, because the card that she gave me was for a woman named Joy Cox, and this woman wrote her thesis on cults. And for 5 years, I saw her week after week. Every time we would unpack just a little more than I was comfortable with, because it took a long time for me to really allow myself to open up and emotionally tap into all those deep wounds that were just below the surface and hidden deep. It took me a long time to get to the point where I could even talk about the things that were down buried underneath all of this, you know, pretending and masking and hoping nobody would find out that I was a fraud, you know? And it took years to unpack all that. 5 years of seeing her. And there, when on the days when we would go just a little deeper than I was comfortable for, and I would cry, you know, because I was connecting to my emotions, I would stop going. You know, I would find excuses not to go the next time or the next time and cancel and reschedule and cancel, you know, just because it was just so hard to keep showing up and to keep showing up and to keep showing up. And each time I made progress, each time was one more step in the right direction of the healing that I desperately needed. Brené Brown is one of my favorites. You know, she says, you cannot selectively numb your emotions. If you numb the negative ones, you're also numbing the positive ones. And so can you imagine the kind of life I was living before I went to counseling, where all my negative emotions were numbed and all my positive ones were numbed too, which leaves you this little sliver of emotion from which to operate and live your life. Because everything is just like out of reach and out of bounds. And as I went through the process of unpacking everything that happened, crying about it, grieving, weeping, mourning, it opened me up to where all of my emotions are something that I now have access to, and I can be appropriately emotional in any circumstance now. And it's just split my whole life wide open. And so I, like, when you people meet me on social media and they experience me there, you know, what they're experiencing is a lot of joy that I have learned how to experience in my life. And so I tell people, my pathway to joy was paved with grief.
Right. Yeah. You have to walk through it. You have to go through it.
Yeah.
You can't go around it. You can't bury it. You've got to walk through it. And then on the other side is freedom, right?
Right.
I mean, would you just...
Yes.
Yeah.
Very much so. So much freedom. All of the things, like, I still experience grief. I still have the negative emotions, but they're not numbed. I'm experiencing the negative, and then that means that I can also experience the positive things in life and those positive emotions that fill us with life and help us experience hope and love and peace and all those things that everybody wants but are sometimes hard to tap into. And so if anybody of your listeners are experiencing that place where it's hard to tap into those positive emotions that we all want to experience, it may be time to explore what negative emotions are being suppressed and numbed just to help you cope with the events that have happened that have brought you to that place.
What wisdom there is just in that statement alone. And I've read that by Brené, but I guess I've never thought into it like that. And especially hearing your story, that makes it completely come alive. Absolutely, of course, it makes sense that when you numb the negative, that you're also numbing the positive, because numbing is numbing, right? And it looks different for all different kinds of people. But when I'm doing coaching with clients, I sometimes refer to the numbing as pain killing. You know, we pain kill in all different ways, by compartmentalizing things, by denying things, through, you know, obsessing about social media, through eating, through drinking.
Right.
I mean, you name over exercising. I mean, anything can become a way to numb, to be able to cope.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm forever surprised when I work with clients at the amount of things in their backpack that they're able to carry around and still seem to function okay. And you had a large backpack, Anna, of all kinds of things that you were just trudging around and then trying to function.
And one thing I want to say is that when you have a large backpack, as you call it, and you have to carry that around, you grow in strength to be able to carry that. And whatever coping mechanism or tool that you are using in order to carry that around, those things are going to benefit you when you begin to address the weight that you're carrying. When you begin to address it, the strength that you have gained, the coping, the skills required to cope with all of that, those things, the persistence, the determination, the fact that you keep putting one foot in front of the other in spite of everything, you keep living your life, you keep showing up day after day after day, even carrying all of that. When you begin to address those things, all of that is going to help you. The grit, the determination and persistence that it required for you to continue living your life under those circumstances are what is going to get you through that process of healing. So the no matter the weight that you're carrying, it is giving you the strength that you need to do the work necessary to process through all that.
I'm writing that down.
This is
good.
True.
Yes. Right.
Everything that I went through and bore up under all the ways that I coped, every skill I learned, even if it was just like a negative coping mechanism, all of those things were turned around and used in my favor during the healing process.
So, as you work through, as you unpacked your backpack, so to speak, do you remember some of the first things that you were really able to have true joy about, or when you really started living big?
Well, it was a long process, because I want your listeners to know that the heavier that backpack, the longer it's probably going to take. There's not a quick and easy, 6 weeks or 6 months or, six steps. There's just not that available. There's no miracle cure. If there was a miracle cure, I would have found it. I promise. but it took me a long time, years, and in some cases, decades, to begin to understand the weight of what I was carrying, and then even after I began the healing process, just being able to enjoy my life. And for instance, I've watched people make a big deal about sunsets and sunrises and different things, like beautiful things that, to the normal person, there's beauty in these kinds of things. And I watch people experience the beauty and comment about it and experience those things. And I did not understand the emotions that they were having, that I wasn't experiencing the exact same thing as them. And I wondered, what is wrong with me that I can't experience the things that other people do the same way they do? And I didn't understand that when all of that is just stuffed down and you're not allowed access to the emotional side of you, it shuts down all kinds of things about your life. And so, there's brief moments where I had just unbridled passion and enthusiasm about life, about experiences that we were having, where I could just be myself and be unbridled, And I, for instance, we used to take trips when I was in that little school that I got enrolled in. During my high school years, after I ran away, I got enrolled in this little school and we would take trips. And oh my gosh, I would just come to life on those trips. And I have come to understand that what I love are new experiences. Mm-hmm. And so we would have these new experiences of going out of town for a competition or a convention or, youth retreat or youth camp or summer camp or whatever it was. And I would just come to life in those environments and not even basically recognize my own self as I experienced those things. And so those are some of the early times of me being able to express my real self, where I felt safe doing so, and actually enjoy life. But those were just brief moments of time. Even in my parenting, so I'm now an adult, and I have 5 children. They're now all grown adults. But, when they're young years, I loved being a mom. Loved being a mom. loved my babies when they were tiny and newborn and growing up and watching them. It was just such a precious time. And eventually I had to get a full-time job when my youngest was about two. And because I wasn't able to experience them full-time as a stay-at-home mom anymore, you know, I grieved that loss. And so there were a lot of years where I lost a lot of time in that, you know, cycle of I'm working full-time and I'm raising five children. And then I became a single mom after their dad and I divorced. And I became a single mom for a lot of years where it was on me to provide for them. And so I lost a lot of years of being able to enjoy them. But, you know, when that weight of, okay, they're all grown up now, and that weight of being the parent that has to provide and all that lifted because they're all grown up, I'm now able to enjoy my children again. And now one of them has given me a grandchild. And I promise you, there is nothing like being a grandparent. Nothing. And I am experiencing the fullness of joy with that child. I'm going to start crying thinking about it. Just because it is so wonderful, I did not know it was possible to contain this much joy and not just explode from happiness. Mm. And that child just is a reminder of all that's more and still available to me on the emotions scale. And that child is bringing me more healing. Even as she grows, she's 5 months old now. I'm all emotional. So, you know, like it's like this is just an example of being able to tap into the emotion. Because I'm not suppressing it and I'm not numbing it. I'm experiencing, like, these are tears of joy that you're hearing and the happiness. It's just the best thing ever.
So, to the listeners that are out there that know that maybe some of their past, the things in their backpack are holding them back, what would you say to them?
I'm going to quote Brené Brown again. She says, tell your stories to people who have earned the right to hear your story. And that could be a friend, a counselor, a mentor, a teacher, you know, your spouse, your, like a pastoral, you know, somebody like that. Somebody that you trust and that you know is for you. And that when you talk about these heavy things that have happened, you know that they are going to carry the weight of that story tenderly in their hands. And just by telling a safe person your story, it is allowing you to take something that's been buried deep inside of you, to put it on the outside of you. For some people, the best they might be able to do right now is write about it, to journal it. And that is a different way of putting something on the outside of you that's been buried on the inside. And so being able to externalize the story in one way or another, in a safe place and in a safe way that doesn't make you feel like you are like unsafe in doing so. You have to feel safe telling your story in order for that to be a healing process for you. So that's where I would start. You know, you can, and everything begins with you taking a single action. It's whether you text a friend and say, can we meet for coffee? Or you, you know, call your insurance company or look on their website for counselors that are, you know, that are part of your insurance. Or you text a spiritual mentor or email the church and say, you know, who can I talk to? Any one of those things can be the single first step in the healing journey for you.
You know, when any time in life that you're tackling something that's big, it's common that you can't see the way.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so just doing that one thing in front of you, because thinking about mm-hmm. all the things that may have to be done can be scary and overwhelming, but that one thing that's in front of you,
right.
What great advice. Telling
yeah.
someone that's safe, or taking mm-hmm. the time to journal it out in a safe way, to have it be external from you.
Right.
That's great, great first steps.
And here's the reason why that it works and why it's important, is because the things that happen to us when we're looking at them on the inside of us, it's like the 7-year-old child in me that is seeing those events over and over again when it's on the inside. Mm-hmm. When you are able to externalize it, it's an amazing thing that when it's externalized, your adult, mature self is the person that now gets to see these things in a new light, not just that little child that's still hurting on the inside. Your adult mm-hmm. self is able to look at and process the events that happened in a different way that allows for the healing process to take place.
Wow. Lots of good things here, Anna. This is fantastic. So, looking to today and where you're at and how you're living, can you tell us what your life looks like now?
Well, I'm an author, I'm a speaker, I'm a grandma, I'm self-employed. I told you I had to go to work when my mm-hmm. my youngest was 2, and she's almost 21 now. So I had a 17-year career in sales and marketing in the air charter business. And since the beginning of 2017, I resigned from that position, and now I launch books for a living, and I coach aspiring authors, and I speak and I share my story and do all these different things that you talked about at the beginning when you were saying, these are all the reasons I wanted her to be on the podcast. all fun things for me. And what's amazing is that as I have healed and learned who I was and learned how to express the person that God created and redeemed me to be, He knew what he was doing when he knit me together in my mother's womb. And he knew, using the DNA of my father and my mother, both people who I often wondered, like, how in the world did I end up in that family? But God used the DNA of my father and my mother to knit me together the exact way he wanted, so that I could find my full expression of the person he created me to be and make a huge impact on the world. And it's been through the healing process that I have discovered that girl, the one that God imagined and knew the implications of who I would be and what would happen to the world as a result. And me becoming that person in all the healing process and being able to express who I am, how I am, what I am, in all the ways that I learned to identify the gifts, talents, and abilities inside of me, you know, doing the Strength Finder test and the Enneagram and mm-hmm. the DISC profile, you know, all of these ways in which I was able to see myself through a different lens by identifying, oh yeah, these things are very true about me, and then and then being able to put those things together. And some of it wasn't even me putting it together. This different way that I earn my living and live my life since 2017, I could not have orchestrated this if I tried. Everything about my current life, I believe, was divinely appointed and orchestrated. Like I tell people, God orchestrates events, circumstances, and people in our favor. And he brought me along. I couldn't see it at the time. I wasn't, I, you know, it's hard to see it when you're right in the moment. But when I look back, there is just no doubt in my mind that everything about my life was divinely orchestrated. All the events, all the circumstances, all the people led me to where I am at now. And he brought me out of that deep hole of a life that of my family of origin, and brought me into this place now. Just the events that led me to the place where I had to change careers, because I found something I could do for a living that paid my bills and allowed the fullness of who I am to come to bear on this world. And it's the best thing ever.
I love that. I love all of it. I've heard someone say, you never can connect the dots going forward, but you can connect them going back in your life. You know, so you, and that's exactly what you just said. You can look back and see, you know, you didn't understand at the time. And some things I'm sure you still don't fully understand the why, but accepting that you don't, maybe we don't always know. I mean, we aren't going to always know all the reasons, but I fully believe that every single person on this planet has God-given gifts and talents and has a way to impact the world. And I'm not saying being on a platform and being famous or being a social media influencer. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about living into your gifts and purpose, and it may look like that. It may look like one of those things, but it may not. You know, it may look like going to the NICU and holding babies because that's what God's put in your heart. It may look like being the very best mom that you can be to your little toddlers. You know, it could be 100 different things, and that's why I'm so passionate about people living their best life. And it always involves overcoming our backpacks of stuff and unpacking that. The obstacle is the way. The only way through it is through it.
Yes, and agreed.
And it's amazing how much joy and happiness and fulfillment is out there when we're really able to live into who God made us to be. And I think everything about your story shows that. I love it. Wow. I have goosebumps. I've had goosebumps like at least 6 or 7 times as you've been talking. And I love that you came on and shared your story with us. And I know people are dying to know how they can connect with you, Anna. So can you share the best place to connect?
The best place is probably Instagram. My handle there is Anna K. LeBaron, and I love connecting with people there and on Facebook as well. It's also Anna K. LeBaron on Facebook, and I'm on Twitter too, just not as often. And so you can go to my website, AnnaLeBaron.com, and there's information there about my book and what I do and how I do it. And the thing that is also on my website is, you know, AnnaLeBaron.com/podcast is a fun thing. Am I allowed to talk about this now?
Oh, of course. Yeah. Do it. Yes. Okay. Please.
So my sister Celia and I, we've been invited to record and be a part of a podcast series a true crime podcast series where we get to talk about our family of origin and the things that happened and the lives that were impacted, and not just that, but also talk about where people are today and maybe talk about some of the redemptive stories that are now available because we've come this far. And so if we're going at the end of October, this is 2019, so we're going at the end of October to record that. I don't know when it will be available, but if anybody is interested in it, they can go to annalebaron.com/podcast and then scroll down and sign up for our email list. And when we know when the podcast will be available, we will send out an email and let everyone know that they can subscribe and then join us on that journey. It is like, I'm so excited about this. And I cannot wait.
Yeah, that is exciting. Wow. I think that when we share our stories and we're real about our journeys, it allows other people to kind of draw strength from us to be able to take steps to move forward in their own lives. I mean, I know for me, it was, you know, it was borrowing the belief of somebody or having somebody just say the right thing to me at the right time, like that woman did for you during the play date. And that's, you know, that has to be a God thing where those things align for you and the right person is there to say the right thing and you're ready to hear it. And you took massive action. And it changed everything.
So I hope that anybody that's listening will, you know, if they, you know, can take a screenshot of the podcast that you're listening to now and like post it on your social media and tag me and let me know that you're listening and, you know, what impacted you and the way it impacted you. It would just delight me no end to know that.
Great idea, Anna. Thank you so much. So as we wrap up, I just want to thank everyone for listening today. Don't forget to subscribe to Dialed In and even and for more access to all the things that I share about living big and to stay connected to my guests, go to BethanyClem.com and sign up to be an insider, and then you'll never miss a thing. So until next time, take action, live big, and stay dialed in.